Thank you, Maslin, for that ministry in music. Now, we have all heard of a situation where two friends seem to be mad at each other. It's an experience that I think many of us have faced. And maybe you were one of these people that were mad at each other. Maybe you were mad at a close friend, maybe a sibling. Maybe you were one of those two people. But maybe you were the third party. Sometimes in these situations, another mutual party comes in and talks to both sides. The role of this mutual friend is to reconcile the two that are at great odds. This is a unique role. It is something that not everyone gets to do. However, this third party of reconciliation is seen all throughout the book of Philemon. It is demonstrated by Paul in how he reconciles Philemon and Onesimus. Now, about 2 months ago, we began this journey through the book of Philemon. This mini-series has had two sermons so far. The first lesson covered the background of the book and the character of Philemon. We dove into the honorable reputation of Philemon. And we also saw how Philemon's actions were heard by Paul, even though Paul was a prisoner during this time. Now, the second sermon focused on how even though Onesimus was a runaway slave and a thief, Onesimus was radically changed by the gospel. We also saw how Paul tells Philemon to accept back Onesimus due to all of them now being a part of the family of God. Paul tells Philemon to accept back Onesimus due to them all being children of God, which leads us to tonight. Tonight, we will be focusing on the last verses of the book of Philemon. These verses being verses 17 to 25. Now, the theme for tonight is that Jesus has forever changed the children of God by being a mediator between us and God by paying for our sin. It's a long theme, so I'll state it again. Jesus has forever changed the children of God by being a mediator between us and God by paying for our sin. Which brings us now to the first point of the night. Now, this first point will take up a majority of tonight. And that first point is that just as Paul reconciles Philemon and Onesimus, so too does Christ reconcile us to God. Paul gives us a physical demonstration of what Christ has done for us within this first point. We see that Paul acts as a mediator between both Onesimus and Philemon due to the result of the gospel that is shared between all of them. Paul wants to reconcile Onesimus and Philemon. That is the ultimate goal of this letter. And now we finally get to it. The first part of verse 17 kicks off Paul's reconciliation when he says, "So if you consider me your partner, if you consider me your partner." Paul is reminding Philemon of Paul and Philemon's own relationship. Paul states that they are in a type of partnership together. But the word that Paul uses for partnership has a much deeper connotation. The word in Greek is koinonos. This word is a word that describes the relationship between all believers. It can be rendered into English as someone who has fellowship with another. This is shown in the fact that both Philemon and Paul are in fellowship together through Christ. Through Christ, there is an aspect that brings everyone together. I believe Paul is reminding Philemon of the fact that Onesimus is also in this fellowship. Now, let's look back at verse 16, which we talked about in the last sermon. Paul emphasizes the fact that Onesimus is now in this same fellowship as Philemon and Paul. Verse 16 reads, "No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Paul is reiterating the fact that the bond between Onesimus and Philemon is now part of the fellowship. That is because Paul states in verse 16 that Onesimus is now part of the family of Christ, and that family consists of Philemon and Paul. Therefore, Paul states that if Philemon is a companion of Paul, then Philemon is also in companionship with Onesimus, because they are all in the same fellowship. Philemon, Paul, and Onesimus are all in this fellowship because this fellowship or this companionship is built on the saving work of Jesus. They are all built on one firm foundation. Now, what exactly is this fellowship? Think of this fellowship as like our church denomination. We are the Bible Fellowship denomination. We are all unified by Christ. But these churches in the Bible Fellowship make up a unified group. And that is because they are all unified by common articles of faith. These articles of faith hold together these different churches. Each church in the Bible Fellowship denomination is bonded to each other because we hold the same beliefs. These beliefs unite people together. Or take another example. In stories, groups of characters bond together over one idea or one quest. For example, take the story, The Lord of the Rings. The first book is entitled The Fellowship of the Ring. This Fellowship of the Ring is a group of heroes who are all different. They are made up of elves, dwarves, humans, and hobbits. They are all at odds with each other. But they eventually all come together to fulfill one quest. They are bonded to each other, and through different conflicts, hardships, they all are bonded through this one quest. They are a fellowship that is bonded for the same goal. They put aside their differences. In the same way as a church is bonded to others in its denominations, or so too as the Fellowship of the Ring is bonded to a quest, so too are we, all Christians, bonded to each other through Christ. Christ is what holds us together due to his saving work. Paul is emphasizing this. He is stating that we are now all one in Christ due to what Christ has done. And now we all have the same goal. Paul is reminding Philemon of this. The word fellowship can be described as the foundational point of this letter as it applies straight to us. It applies straight to us being reunited in Christ. And that is what the foundation of what Paul is saying is what brings us together. As believers, we serve Christ, and that is what should bring us together as one. Paul then tells Philemon that if Philemon is to be in fellowship with Paul and Onesimus, then Philemon should fully receive back Onesimus in the fullest sense possible. Continuing in verse 17, the second half says, "Receive him as you would receive me." Paul is saying that if Onesimus comes back, if he goes back to Philemon, he should be treated just as Paul would be visiting. Onesimus is to be seen as Paul would be seen in the eyes of Philemon. What's interesting now about this word receiving is that it has many different meanings. And I believe Paul is alluding to all of these different meanings. I believe that Paul is stressing the practical, emotional, and spiritual side of this word. Now, the practical side means to take out of kindness into one's own house. But it can also mean to take as a friend or as a companion. So on the practical side, Paul is saying to take Onesimus into Philemon's own house, and that Philemon should also take him as a friend. The emotional side of the word means to allow access into one's own heart into friendship, and to take up one as one's own self. In a sense, Paul is commanding Philemon to receive back Onesimus. In this receiving, Paul is telling Philemon to allow Onesimus into Philemon's own heart as a friend, and to truly care for Onesimus. And finally, the spiritual side of this word means to receive, means to lead in the way which is of Christ, to take up in discipleship. By commanding all three of these aspects, Paul is telling Philemon to receive back Onesimus in the fullest sense possible, in every aspect, just as Paul would be received by Philemon. And as Philemon is to receive back Onesimus, Paul also seeks to redeem the damage of sin that is between Onesimus and Philemon. The first part of verse 18 reads, "If he has wronged you at all." Paul wants to know if any wrong has occurred to Philemon at all. The word wrong means to hurt. Paul wants to know if any hurt has been done to Philemon. But more importantly, this word hurt means to sin against someone. Paul is highlighting the fact that sin has been done, and it cannot be ignored. And Paul wants to know about the sin done. Paul is not ignoring the fact that Onesimus has sinned. Paul also wants to repay Philemon in the physical monetary aspect of the wrong done. Continuing in the next phrase, verse 18, it says, "or owes you anything at all." This word "owe" means to be in debt of money. Paul wants to know the exact price of the money that Onesimus owes. So if Onesimus stole anything when running away from Philemon, Paul wants to know about it. Another aspect to think about is, what about the price of the time and labor lost to Philemon when Onesimus ran away? This is all stuff that adds up in the hurt and in the wrongdoing, in the money owed to Philemon. But Paul does something special for Onesimus. Paul wants to personally repay the debt and everything that is owed to Philemon. He wants it charged to his account. Last part of verse 18 says, "charge that to my account." Paul wants to repay everything. The word "charge" means to set to one's own account. Paul wants everything set onto him. Paul is assigning the payment needed to himself. He is paying the price for Onesimus. He's paying on behalf of all the wrong that was done by Onesimus. And Paul shows that he will repay it. He is promising this. Verse 19 says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. Paul states that he himself is writing this commitment, that he will pay it. Paul is writing this promise with his own hand. This is not a scribe. This is not an assistant. But he is writing this down. In doing this, he is showing that he will repay everything out. Think about when you write down something today. It's in your own handwriting. And if you write a promise, and if it is signed by you, you have to fulfill that promise. In the ancient world, it was the same case when writing something with your own hand. Your own signature, your own handwriting, your own words carried weight and legal validity. Once Paul writes this down, he has to do it. Paul is interceding for Onesimus in the fullest sense possible. But Paul does not want Philemon to only charge the crimes to Paul. Paul promises that he will repay it, and he will repay it in full. When Paul uses the word repay in verse 19, he doesn't mean to repay a little bit of the debt, but he wants to repay the debt in full. There will be no trace of the debt associated to Onesimus. The literal translation for the word repay means to be out of punishment. Paul is paying the punishment for Onesimus. The physical price of Onesimus' sin is being paid off in full by Paul. Paul is acting as a mediator between Philemon and Onesimus. Now, I hope this sounds familiar to you. Because in the same way as Paul is acting out the gospel, Christ fully did it for us. Our sin was a debt that we could not pay. Christ charged our sins to his account, and in doing so, he paid it all. Our punishment is forever gone. The price for our sin was death, but Jesus paid it all in full. Everything that was owed by all the hurt, all the wrong, and all the sin that we did was wiped clean. In doing so, we are now received into the kingdom of heaven. We are to be received into the kingdom of heaven just as Onesimus is to be received back into the household of Philemon. We now have fellowship with God on the practical level because Jesus paved a way for us to have a relationship with him. We will be in the house of God. We now have a companion with us. On the emotional side, we are received by God because we have seen the heart of Christ and he has taken us as his own children. We are received spiritually by God because we are led by God and we will have eternal life with him as we are received back into his kingdom. And we are received physically by God. When God looks at our hearts, he will see something pure, a heart as pure as Jesus. Just like how Philemon was to receive back Onesimus and view Onesimus as Paul, so too are we received into the kingdom of God, looked at as his children. Paul's actions are literally modeling the gospel in every way. This is the beauty of what it means to live like Christ. In doing this, Paul reminds Philemon of Philemon's own salvation. Continuing in verse 19, Paul states, "To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self." Paul mentions that Philemon is also spiritually indebted to Paul. Again, the word owing comes up to mean that Philemon is also indebted to Paul. That being said, we do not know the details of Philemon coming to Christ. But we do know that in Paul saying this statement, it shows that Paul led Onesimus to Christ. We do not know if this situation of Philemon coming to Christ was anywhere similar to Onesimus' situation. We do not know if Paul needed to act as a mediator for Philemon when Philemon came to Christ. But we do know that Philemon needed a mediator to go to God, and that was through Jesus. We do know, because of this sentence, Paul was used by God to bring the gospel to Philemon. Paul is reminding Philemon that Philemon was once in the same state that Onesimus is now in. That is a state of being in sin in which a mediator is needed. Due to Paul reminding Philemon of how he was saved, Paul is stating that Philemon should accept back Onesimus because Philemon was once the same as Onesimus. Therefore, in receiving Onesimus back, Paul wants Philemon to live out how he has been changed by the gospel. Verse 20 states, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." Paul wants confirmation that Philemon is walking with Christ. The word benefit means to have a joyous profit from someone. Paul wants to see the fruit of Philemon's walk by accepting Onesimus back. In Philemon accepting Onesimus back, Paul says that his own heart will be at ease. Again, we see this refreshing spirit that Philemon brings to Paul. Paul is confident in Philemon's character. He states that in the beginning of this letter. Paul's heart has already been put to ease by the work of Christ through Philemon. But now, considering this high-stakes situation, Paul wants Onesimus to be fully brought back so that Paul can be at rest. Throughout this first point, Paul acts as an example and reminder of what Christ has done in all believers' lives. Just as Paul steps in on behalf of Onesimus, so too has Christ seen wrong and stepped in by repaying our wrongdoing and our sin. Christ fully receives us into his family. We are received practically, emotionally, and spiritually, and in every sense possible, due to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Due to the reminder that Jesus Christ paid off our debt, we are to live a life that resembles that same gospel. Philemon is supposed to accept back and forgive the wrongdoing of Onesimus because Paul has mediated for Onesimus. In the same way, we are to accept back Christians who have sinned because Christ has paid their ransom and he has paid our ransom as well. Due to all ransoms being paid by the same person, we are to live in fellowship with one another, a fellowship that should have Christ at its roots. We can mediate for others in handling others' sins. We can respond with grace to situations that seem difficult. Paul responded with grace both to Onesimus and Philemon. Paul did not have to pay the debt. He could have let Onesimus pay it off. But considering who Onesimus was and that he is now a child of God, Paul showed grace by interceding to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. So where can we show grace in our lives? Where can we model what Christ has done in our lives to others? Grace is something that is hard to give, for it comes at a cost from the giver. But Christ gave the ultimate payment by showing boundless grace. All of us can show grace to someone in our own lives. It could be to friends, family members, co-workers, classmates, or people we don't always get along with. Which brings us to the second point of this evening. The second point is that the gospel that saved us should invoke a response of obedience in our lives. Paul trusts in Philemon due to how the gospel has affected Philemon's own life. Paul trusts in Philemon's lifestyle that he will do the right thing. This is seen in verse 21 in the first part, as Paul writes, confident of your obedience. Paul trusts in Philemon. He trusts in how Philemon will obey Christ. Essentially, Paul is trusting in how the gospel has changed Philemon's life. Paul even mentions the character of Philemon in the beginning of the letter. We looked at this in Sermon 1. Those verses read, starting at verse 4, when he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. As shown in these past verses, Paul trusts in the obedience of Philemon because he has heard of Philemon's actions. He has heard of the faith and the love that Philemon has toward other believers. And Paul has heard of how Philemon treats other Christians and is therefore confident of the love of Philemon. In that love, Paul trusts that Philemon will be obedient to the healing work of the gospel. Paul is also confident in Philemon that Paul believes that Philemon will actually do more than what Paul has commanded in regards to this entire situation. Going back to verse 21, it reads, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul writes that Philemon would do more than just accept back Onesimus. Paul is trusting that the gospel has changed both Onesimus and Philemon. Due to that, Philemon will be more committed to the gospel. Paul knows that Philemon's character is honorable, and that is because of the same gospel that saved both Onesimus and Philemon. In addition, Paul wants to visit Philemon due to the goodness that Philemon brings. Paul is planning to visit Philemon, and he wants to be accepted when he comes back to the church in Colossae. Paul writes in verse 22, Paul writes, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Paul wants to visit. Because of Paul's confidence in the faith of Philemon, and because Paul knows of the love that Philemon has, he is counting on Philemon to be hospitable and accepting. Paul is also confident and desires to be freed from the prison in which he is in. And that is because Paul knows that Philemon is praying for Paul. Paul hopes that out of God's grace, Paul will be able to visit Philemon. Paul shows that the gospel has truly changed Onesimus, and that is because Onesimus now has an obedient heart. Paul shows this to Philemon. Paul is confident of the reputation that Philemon has. The gospel that saved us should also give us a heart of obedience to Christ. I believe that as Philemon looks at Onesimus' situation, when Paul explains it, Philemon would also see his past. Philemon was unworthy of the gospel. Yet through the grace of God, he is brought into fellowship with other believers. Think about the gospel. We are sinful creatures that have no worthiness in us. We didn't deserve the gospel. We turned our back to God. Yet, the grace of God is sufficient. God gave grace to us when we didn't deserve it, when we were still sinners. Due to the gospel, Jesus Christ radically changes us. The gospel should continue to be a constant reminder of God's goodness in our own lives. This reminder should raise a spirit of obedience. All that God has done for us in the gospel should be kept in the front of our minds. Just as Philemon, in his reputation, is living out the gospel, so too are we to be obedient to God for what he has done for us. Which brings us to the third and final point of the evening. We can find encouragement by those who do the work of the gospel. Paul now finishes his letter to Philemon by giving encouragement, by stating all those who support Philemon and those who are doing the work of the gospel. Now, the main person who Paul talks about is Epaphras. Epaphras is someone who is supporting Philemon. Verse 23 states, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greeting to you." Not much is known about Epaphras when just reading the book of Philemon. However, there are some key details to note about him. We know that he is also a prisoner with Paul during this time. We also know that when Paul sent his greeting to Philemon, Epaphras is also sending it, which means that Epaphras is supporting and encouraging Philemon. Since Philemon lives in Colossae, the book of Colossians talks a great deal amount about Epaphras. He's mentioned twice. First, in Colossians 1, verse 7, which reads, "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made it known to us your love in the Spirit." And again, in the end of the book, chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras also comes back in the picture. It reads, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God." Now, throughout these two verses, Epaphras is described as a minister. Even beyond that, he is described as a minister who is faithful to Christ. He is also described as a servant. But something that's very important to notice is that he is someone who is always praying. In chapter 4, verse 12, it describes him as being someone who is struggling on behalf to pray for the church. He's praying consistently for the church in Colossae. I believe that he is praying for the church because he is from that church. Through the actions of Epaphras and Paul, by mentioning them, Paul is encouraged to know, Philemon is encouraged to know, that he has other people who are fighting for the gospel, other people who are praying for him, other people who are doing the work of Christ. Paul also mentions many others who are working for Christ. Verse 24, "And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of these men. But these men are described as fellow workers here in Philemon. And they are doing the work of Christ. Some of these men are found throughout the Bible. And we could go throughout the Bible and see how they are working for Christ and in spreading the gospel. But Paul is showing Philemon that these men are also doing the work of the gospel and that Philemon is not alone. There are others during this time who are speaking the gospel to others. Finally, Paul ends by giving the blessing to Philemon. Verse 25, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Paul wants God's grace to be shown to Philemon. This is going to bring encouragement to Philemon to know that God's grace is with him. Paul finishes out this letter by giving a standard blessing that brings encouragement to all who are affected by the gospel. This blessing shows that Christ Jesus is with us, and that is because of his grace. Paul writes about those who are still doing the work of the gospel. I believe he writes this to give encouragement to Philemon, to show Philemon that he is not alone and that there are other faithful workers. In the same way, we can find encouragement from seeing the work that others do for the gospel. The work we do for Christ also brings encouragement to others. We are in one fellowship, and because of that, we should be encouraged when we see others do the work of Christ. However, the ultimate encouragement comes from Christ Jesus. We can be encouraged in knowing about his grace and trusting in his plan of salvation. We can find encouragement in knowing that he has provided a way to salvation for us. Paul wraps up his letter to Philemon by describing how the gospel is lived out. Paul models the redemptive work of the gospel in how he treats Onesimus and Philemon. In addition, Paul shows the radical change that happens in the gospel and how the gospel incites obedience to Christ. At the end of the letter, Paul gives encouragement to Philemon to continue living out this gospel. We cannot forget the gospel in our lives. Paul serves as a reminder to Philemon of what God has done. The debt of our sin was incredible, but the grace of God abounded. Even more, the payment for our sin due to Jesus Christ is forever gone. And that is because we are now fully accepted into the family of God. We cannot nor should not forget about this gospel, as it should impact us every single day. As we look and examine our own lives, and we look to help others, the gospel incites change in our lives. It incites obedience due to what Christ has done. We should serve Christ due to his sacrifice. Our actions should not only serve Christ, but also bring encouragement to all Christians who see them. We need to remember that Jesus has forever changed the children of God by being a mediator between us and God, by paying for our sin. That change is not only in the family of God, but it is also practical. So once again, the question arises as we finish out the book of Philemon. The question that I have asked continually throughout this series. Is the gospel at the forefront of your mind? Is it shown through your everyday actions? Do you live in a way that resembles what Christ has done for you? For those who may not know Christ or are in a difficult season, you can find both salvation and encouragement in what Christ has done. We can find salvation in knowing that the debt of our terrible sin has been paid off for all who come to him with a spirit of repentance. Jesus Christ is our mediator so that we can have a relationship with God. We can find encouragement in that the book of Philemon is about the gospel being practically lived out. It is a book of reconciliation and restitution because of what Christ has done in our lives. So keep the gospel in the front of your mind. Keep the gospel and what Christ has done for you in the forefront of your mind so that we can live out what Christ has done for us. Remember the gospel, for it provides a way of reconciliation and restitution to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us, and we pray that we will not forget your gospel. We pray that we can model it out in our lives, that we can keep it at the front of our minds, that we will not forget the grace that you have on us. We pray that we can continue living it out so that others can see what you have done in our lives and be encouraged by it. Lord, I pray for those who may not know you, that they can find you and that they can join the family of God. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.